Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We got a mighty combination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast too.
Welcome back to the week 2 recap of the Mountain West Connection radio show. Check us out at mwcconnection.com. Same thing on Twitter, mwcconnection. We're close to 800 likes on Facebook. Check us out there too. Jeremy, hanging out with Chris.
Oh yeah.
It was in Vegas at the game. We'll talk about that game. The squeaker. The squeaker.
God, can we not?
Maybe we need to. You had an infograph about it.
I know. I did have. And we will talk about the infograph a little bit.
We've got an infograph. We have check that out. I put what we
guys,
learned.
We're becoming more interactive with our blogging, not just...
And we podcast. We put some videos on there. We got infographs now. Chris is doing schoolwork for us. That's nice.
Yep, this hopefully will be continued in the future if I'm allowed to customize more colors, because I do not like the way the colors came out.
Yeah, the service is good. Create an infogr.am, infogram, but the dot between, that's weird. Like, come on,
it's like the Hawaiian. It's like the Hawaiian for Hawaii.
Hawaii.
It's like the infogram.
We got that. We have an infograph. Check it out. We have the required Craig Bowling puns on there. And I'm assuming that'll be a staple each and every time.
That will be a statistic every single week.
It should be on there. We'll talk about things we learned this week, and I wrote a couple. Apparently, people want me to write more about certain things, but it's not a full-blown recap. If you want the recap, read the recap. But this week was... How would you describe the week on the whole? Because I think... a couple words. What would you put as the league on the whole? Not necessarily your Boise State Broncos or the game you went to.
Really, it was more of what I expected. It fell in line. I think after the first week, shocker of everybody's kind of pretty much horrible. Like, it pretty much was what I expected. While I did not expect Nevada to beat Washington State, and that'll be the first game that we recap, I did say if Nevada can keep everybody under 40 points, if they can keep Washington State under 40 points, they'll have a good chance in beating them, and that's exactly what happened.
That's true. I would say I will go with mildly surprised, just because you have the Nevada win. I'll still say I'm mildly surprised that Fresno State lost as bad as they did. And then you have, like, San Diego State, North Carolina. I'll just say mildly surprised, because those were not expected. I was expecting Auburn to crush San Jose State as Arizona State. I'll go with somewhat surprised on just some of the outcomes. About 50-50 from what expected to much to surprised.
Well, and as we're talking about, remember that when we were previewing these games, I said I was not going to be surprised if San Diego State lost this game. They should win, but... I would not be surprised if they lose, and that's exactly what happened. Was they snapped defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah, they should have won. They should not have been a 16-point underdog. They should have won. We'll get to that game. Let's just get to the games. We don't
to the games.
We're going to attempt to make this under 90 minutes, so we'll try for an hour underneath that. So we'll get going here. One thing I'd like to say, hey, thanks for the comments. I was pretty much gone all day Friday, nowhere to be seen doing some other work. I was gone all day Saturday being a nerd, so I didn't see any games till 8 p.m. at night. And so I was in the comment thread where I usually participate. Chris wasn't there. He was doing stuff. So thank you for commenting. New people, returning people, excellent work.
Yeah, we are building a community here. And as you know, you guys kind of make fun of me for saying that. You know, oh, we need to be building community. We need more comments, everything like that. No, you guys kept the comment thread going Friday and Saturday night. It was awesome. I got back to read some of the comments and participate in the last, you know,
Oracle GIF hour. Is your friend.
But it was great.
Yes, use the Oracle GIF. That's the best thing. All right, so like we said, the first game, Friday night, Nevada hosting the Washington Huskies. And you were right. Like, we were both right. You said, and I said, if it keeps under 40 points, Nevada has a good chance to win. And this was much less, fewer points I thought there'd be, 24-13 for Nevada.
Yeah, it was, how the hell did Nevada win this game?
Plus two.
More importantly, how the hell did Nevada hold Washington State to only 13 points?
Well, Connor Halliday, he did throw for 389 yards, but he also had two interceptions. And there's no running game for Washington State whatsoever, so when they need to run, they can't run. That's an issue.
Yeah, I guess. But, man.
Well, Nevada actually had some defensive stops, because when the game started, Nevada, they didn't score, but they held Washington, they forced Washington State, even though Nevada's first two drives were not very good, they forced Nevada forced Washington State to punt twice, or once, and they stopped on a fourth and a four. Connor Halliday threw two straight times and couldn't get it. And then I'm trying to read the box score here. Apparently ESPN doesn't have it correct, which is awesome. Basically, Washington State, they're fourth and four at the 34-yard line. Well, yeah, let's go. We're on my glitch. Yeah, well then, Washington State gets the ball back. Let's throw an interception. Then Nevada finally gets on the board to end the first quarter. So Washington State, they want long drives. They don't like to go. Their defense got tired. Let's do a five-play drive, a three-play drive with a pick. They couldn't sustain any drives outside of the first one, and they punt a 26-yard punt.
Right.
Nevada's defense showed up. That's what we can say. They give up the yards, but it's only, like, the big thing with Washington State, you don't want to give up, like, 8 or 9 yards an attempt. Almost just under 7 yards per attempt for Connor Halliday. And that's, or per completion, that's a pretty big deal for that offense to stop him.
Yeah, it totally is. I would say I watched most of this game. It was at a place where I couldn't have a laptop and I couldn't really thoroughly analyze the game, but I mean, it just seemed to me that Nevada took control in the fourth quarter.
Well, not just that, but I'm looking through, like, every drive. That's true, but every, like, early on, look at their, like I've already mentioned, outside of the first drive where they punt, the short punt, that was a 10-play drive. Washington State, 5-play drive, incomplete on fourth down, 3-play drive, interception. End of the first quarter, 4-play drive at the punt. They didn't have a drive more than, like, 7 plays until, outside the first one, until their first touchdown. Any significant play until they tied it, or not tied it, but when they were down 14-7 and kicked the field goal, make it 14-10. Even their touchdown was just a quick 7-play drive, and that was aided by a penalty and one deep pass. Or excuse me, a deep run and pass. So they weren't, somehow Nevada's defense, which we joked about and laughed about, has been terrible,
has all of a sudden seriously improved.
Yeah, because I looked at the first game, like, I get, it's like, I did a little Q&A for the Rivals site. I talked to the guys on the QCenter.com. I'm like, I know nothing about Nevada because Southern Utah is not very good. Yeah, they knocked out their quarterback. Ian Stayout and brought the mullet, Brock Hecking, both played very well on the edges. And my thing was, if they can somehow disrupt either guy on the edge, can disrupt Connor Halliday, they'll have a big game. And because they throw it so quickly, they did enough, as everybody did, to help win this game. And look at Nevada's offense. They weren't very good this game. You could say this is not, it wasn't a very good game offensively for Nevada, and they still came away winning.
No, and honestly, so I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Uh-oh.
And Nevada fans are going to get pissed at me because they're like, well, we're the only people 2-0 right now, which is true, outside of Wyoming. It is true.
Don't forget the Cowpokes. Don't forget the Pokes.
You beat a Power 5 school.
Bad one.
Great. But regardless, air raid offense, you gave up 389 yards passing. Okay, that's going to happen. 38 yards rushing, how much of that is due to Washington State running the ball because they have an active, you know, runner?
Well, Holiday's not really an active runner. He got sacked multiple times.
He got sacked six times.
Well, at least six. I'll check on that. But at least six carries registered for negative
22 yards. But that makes sense if he's always in the shotgun and just gets hit as soon as he throws it. Maybe that might have been a quarterback draw at one point in time.
Maybe one.
longest is a 4-run play. Okay. So you go from negative five carries, negative 26 yards.
That's okay. A good sack.
One of those that's not a sack? That's okay. Five sacks, that seems a little bit more in tune. But if that's the case, okay. Jamal Morrow and Theron West, the two running backs for Washington State, who I'm not even sure they know what their role is on this team except to fake run when they need to. Jamal Morrow, seven carries for 32 yards. That's a healthy 4.6 average. Theron West, three carries for 29 yards. That might be, you know, one of the reverse plays, but it worked. And I think if Washington State was not so dependent on the pass and balanced their offense a little bit more, I think we would have either seen a closer game or this Nevada rush defense would be tested a lot more.
Well, the offensive line's an issue for Washington State. They're at the bottom of the Pac-12 at sacks with seven. They're 11-12, and they've given up 13 total tackles for loss. So it's their offensive line, which is the issue in this game. And somehow Nevada is able to – not somehow, but just based on what Nevada's basically not done defense the past year or two, it's surprising to see them have that same success. And Washington lost to Rutgers the week before. Rutgers. New York City's Big Ten Rutgers. They lost to that team. And it's the
offense. You should just say they lost to a Big Ten team and leave it at that. Because that's, I mean, the Big Ten and the Power 5 conference is looking like the Mountain West and the Group of 5 conference.
Well, I wanted to get in my New York's team, Rutgers, so that's why.
Gotcha.
Because that's not the case. Because did you listen to Shutdown Fullcast?
No, I did not get a chance.
Ryan Annie makes a great joke about how I got his new TV after that game. So listen to that. Or if you don't know who that is, that's Celebrity Hot Tub.
That is that Celebrity. I do know who Ryan Annie is.
No, I know, but some people don't. Wake Up College Football, that guy too.
Which was fantastic this morning.
I need to watch it still. But back to the game. It's because Nevada didn't do anything special. They get two turnovers, and we'll wrap this up really quick, but they were outgained by 100 yards. They had 9 penalties for 90 yards. They didn't play extremely well. Cody Fajardo only had 110 yards passing. He ran for 100. Don Jackson didn't do very well. Besides, two touchdowns is great, but he averaged 3 yards a carry, and one of those was 18 yards. And one of Fajardo's runs was for over half of his yardage. So, obviously, they played well enough to win and did good, but this is not a good game what Nevada can do.
No, it's not. And if this is a game what Nevada can do,
they're in trouble.
They're in trouble. But then again, this is what we've seen Nevada 2 weeks in a row. Cody Fajardo, not great passing, but doing it on the ground as well.
We threw for 300 yards for Southern Utah, but again, Southern Utah.
Yeah, but I mean, completions attempts.
Correct. All right. Nevada is 2-0 with only Wyoming, so.
And hence the reason why, and I'll go ahead, spoiler alert right now, they are number one in my power rankings.
Bam. And I'm sorry for folks who entered the fan vote. I'm not doing that again, unless I'll do it a different way, because I love the response. Not that I'm dissing on that, but there's about 15 or so writers who voted or so. We had 305 total responses. Love
Jeremy,
it.
Jeremy can't math more than 300 people.
No, well, I'm not an Excel wizard. And when not to blame people, but I... I didn't have a drop down, so people could put CSU, Colorado State, not do the exact same of each team name. So I couldn't organize the way I wanted. So I still figured the numbers out properly. I wasn't going to get percentages in there, but it just took too long. So we're doing well. You can when we put our rankings out probably Tuesday morning. We'll chime in on the comments. Put what you would have ranked the team in, or we'll do a poll, something like that, to get everybody involved. That just unfortunately took way too long, and I don't have time for that. But I do love about 300 people responding. So, like Chris said, we're building a community. Said,
next game.
We have, what, 9 games on Saturday morning, Saturday throughout the day?
Jim Delaney yesterday, the Big Ten conference commissioner.
Commissioner.
Was interviewed by ESPN yesterday. He said, don't write them out of the playoff mix.
Which playoff? FCS?
Yeah, right. About time.
Yeah, that's all. Hold on. I do want to touch. Let's see. Nebraska almost lost to an FCS team, to a bad one, McNeese State.
McNeese State is ranked in the top 10.
Oh, I thought they were a different team. Maybe I'm thinking a different one. Sorry. Oh, I was thinking Nicholls State. Sorry. Nicholls State. Yeah. Illinois snuck by Western Kentucky. Their only team that's good, Penn State, is ineligible. Purdue lost to Central Michigan. Rutgers, there it is, Howard. No, the best thing. Northern Illinois wins, but then you got Michigan getting shut up by Notre Dame.
Purdue loses to Central Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan State losing to Oregon, and Ohio State losing to Virginia Tech. Yet, to get into the polls real quick, no Mountain West team is getting consideration, which makes sense. However, I like how the SID poll, or coaches poll, whatever you want to call it, still has Virginia Tech behind Ohio State. Good work there. Let's go to our games. Back to our games. Fresno State, Utah.
Moving on.
The commenter who said, don't give up on Fresno State yet. Oh, man.
You might want to rethink of that statement.
Am I generous on 6-6?
Yeah. No. They can still get to 6-6, but.
Will they?
Good Lord. You just lost by 32 points to Utah.
Yes.
Utah.
My Utah Utes.
No. You know, the guys with the da 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 da
da da da da da da da. I'm no longer a man, I'm a fan, because that's right sexist toward ladies. Those guys. Yeah, that's who Fresno State lost to. A 59-27 drubbing to the Utes. There's no quarterback. There's apparently no defense. It's awful. Look at this number. This makes no sense. Utah had 118 yards in penalties. Fresno had 55. It was only -1 turnover margin. They were about the same on, 30% on third down, almost 50 for Utah on third down. But Fresno State just statistically, at least overall, was okay. But they were not.
Their defense wasn't.
They were not in this game one bit.
Hey, they let Kendall Thompson go 4 for 7, 87 yards, 9 carries, 71 yards. And wasn't it you who was making fun of Kendall Thompson at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, the guy who can't throw.
Yeah.
That guy? I know he can run. I've seen him attempt. I'll go with attempt. The physical motion of him throwing the football can be done by him. As for a percentage of 0-100 being good, that's where I'll go.
You want to know what the worst part about this game is?
What?
So 59 points, right?
That's a lot.
They give up 268 yards passing, which in theory isn't horrible considering they kept Travis Wilson to 181 yards, but that's 5 touchdowns.
He was 50%. He was 5 touchdowns, 11 completions.
Half of his completions, a little under half of his completions were touchdowns.
In the end zone, folks.
Okay, 258 yards rushing.
Rushing game for Utah hasn't been great over the past couple years, and somehow they ran pretty well.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. What was their longest rush of the night?
Only 19.
Only 19. So that means they were at 258 yards rushing in fairly medium length rushes. There's nothing that you would consider to be a long rush.
Yeah, they only averaged almost 5 yards a carry, 4.8.
So basically, what the hell, Fresno State? Why? There should be no reason for this.
I don't know what the deal is. Travis Wilson only completed 181 yards, like tip at 9 yards an attempt. They were just Fresno's offense couldn't do anything. Part of it, I kind of called this when I did some stuff for the Deseret News, Utah paper, previewing this game beforehand. USC ran about 100 plays on a Fresno, and Utah wants to run that same type of tempo. It doesn't help when Fresno goes, let's see, three and out, first three, first four, first five possessions. They go three and out. They didn't get anything going until they attempt a fourth and four, already done 17-0. Fourth and fourth to the Utah 25. Instead of kicking a field goal, they go for an incomplete pass to Martez Waller. And then they go back to three and out, three and out. Again, they were just awful. They couldn't move the ball. As Utah, we know Utah's defense is good, but this is supposedly not even one of their strongest units in a long time on defense. So
they have Jerron Smith. There should be no reason why this defense is not like
it. Yeah, there is. You don't throw it his way. You throw it anywhere else but there.
Yeah, apparently that's what's working.
And I don't know who their quarterback is. Neither quarterback threw an interception, but Brian Burrell, he started.
Burrell, 50%, two touchdowns, zero interceptions, but did not look good. Connett looked relatively competent.
No, because Connett's first drive, here's the thing. The whole first quarter, also, there was a Josh Quezada signing, for those who are wondering. But also, Burrell started the first quarter. Every possession was three and out. When Connett came in, first possession was that extended 10-play drive where they went for it on fourth and down. But then it went back to three and out, three and outs. Connett had the touchdown pass, a short two-yarder. But I think Connett's going to be the guy because he actually moved the ball a little bit, reasonably well, couple drives, almost 10 yards. And this is before Utah. They're in control, 28-7, 31-7. But Utah's not going to pull their starters midway through the second quarter. So he's moving the ball against actual Pac-12 defenders. And I don't know why Burrow got back in the game. He got back in late, but it's like, why is he even?
DeRuiter employing the Norm Chow offense?
No. Burrell, they had Condit all game, but I guess he put Burrell back in just to see what he could get in the fourth quarter. So it looks like Condit went second and third quarter. And Burrell at fourth quarter. Sorry, I don't have the Pac-12 network, so I'm kind of guessing here. But that's what it looks like going from the play chart. So they're not going to beat Nebraska next week. They're going to be 0-3. But the issue is they have no offense. They can't move the ball very well. And
they have no offense. They have no defense. So what do they have?
Nothing. Should Tim DeRuiter have taken a job last offseason?
Possibly.
I don't think there's any offers too much, but there's no reason for them to lose that bad to this Utah team who, in all seriousness, might just be only team that's worse than the Pac-12 is Colorado and probably Washington State. That's it. Maybe Cal. Utah's sitting probably – Utah's ceiling, if they can get to 7 wins, that would be vastly overachieving, and they may not get there. And so we got Fresno State on – what, just bowl watch now? 6-6 watch, whatever you want to say?
Yeah, let's keep them. Let's keep them. Actually, you know what? Let's keep them on meltdown.
I already put it season's over. Well, in my kind of recap thing, like, you should start being concerned if you're a Fresno State fan.
They should be slamming the panic button right now.
They should be. Yeah, they should be. So is next game Utah State, Idaho State? Is that game number two or game on Saturday?
No. Arizona State, New Mexico.
Sorry. I have Utah State highlighted as a favorite team, so that's why. So this was not a shock. Arizona State won 58-23, got up to a huge 22-7 first quarter lead. Apparently there was a surprise.
22-7 lead?
Yeah, 22-7, yeah. Is that what I said? Did I say something else?
I don't know. That's what I heard. So
22-7. But yet, there is a – okay, we knew Cole Gauthier was out. We assumed on the depth chart it was Quayton Mitchum. He did see the field, but Lamar Jordan went 11 of 7 for 130 yards passing the ball for touchdown. That's a new one.
The question is,
that's a new one. Who's Lamar Jordan?
hey, everybody, who's Lamar Jordan? We don't know. He was nowhere on our radar.
Never.
And our football guy, Mr. Ron Kerrion, wasn't on his radar either.
Yeah,
that's because this guy is a freshman.
Our New Mexico guy didn't know about this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Guy's a freshman. He must be a true freshman.
We'll find out in a second, but it's this result should not be a surprise. Even if they had Cole Gauchy, I guess it's a little concerning if you're an Arizona State fan, you give up that many points to New Mexico playing their third-string quarterback.
No,
and Taylor Kelly only threw for 192.
Nobody sees the third-string quarterback.
What?
Nobody sees the third-string quarterback. How do you think Colin Kaepernick became so good?
Colin Kaepernick, that's why.
No. Before Colin Kaepernick was the starter.
I know.
Colin Kaepernick was the backup quarterback 2007 season. It was his freshman year. Starting quarterback got injured. Kaepernick got his first start and then just completely dominated.
I think that's what this is here because, again, sorry, I was out all day. This is one of the games I chose not to watch when I saw the score, but it looked like there could have been a Clayton Mitchell injury. Clayton Mitchell, because he, on his first drive, he had -7 and lost around 7, and he came in early on. Let me double-check that here.
August?
Yeah, because Clayton Mitchell, no, he had 5 carries, so maybe not a bit, I don't know if he got banged up, but Mitchum came out after that first series after there was a fumble, and he had a minus five yard play, actually -7, fumbled, recovered by Arizona State. Then they brought in this Lamar Jordan character.
And basically, I mean, you can't say he tore up the field, but 7 for 11, that's possibly like the best quarterbacking we've seen out of New Mexico the last 2 years.
It looks like it must have been injury because Mitch, I'm sorry, he had 2 drives before the turnover. I'm going to check on this really quick in the Albuquerque Journal. Hey, if you really want to have some quality basketball or new basketball news on Lobos, I should probably email this. They got a Arizona Senator transfer. That's good news, right?
Yeah, totally good news.
Or just to be highly recruited. There you go. That's what we want. Yeah, it looks like at least the guys in the Albuquerque Journal are excited about this quarterback. I would be too. You have a guy who can actually throw the ball.
Well, it's not just throw the ball. It looks like he just kept the team in the game. He knew how to run the offense.
It looks like, okay, this is a great line. It wasn't just injury. You got Mark Smith of the ABQ Journal. Lobo third-string freshman quarterback Lamar Jordan pressed into duty because of injuries and ineptness. Not ineffectiveness. not being ineffective by Clayton Mitchell, but ineptness. Saw action early and often. He's a freshman, redshirt freshman from Frisco, Texas, 5'10". Oh, New Mexico. Bob, football Bob. I don't know, maybe. Because Mitch, what is Cole Gauchy? Is he a junior? Is that right?
Cole Gauchy is a junior. Clayton Mitchum, I think, is a junior or senior.
Let's see here. No, Mitchum's a senior. I believe Gauchy's a, because Gauchy started from since when he's a true freshman.
That's right. Yes, you're true. Yes, you're correct.
And so I think Gauchy is a junior. Yeah, he's a junior, so I think they should make – I don't know. They're not going bowling. We knew that. We knew they weren't going to win the game, but this actually adds some extra intrigue. Because overall, New Mexico's rush defense was the issue. They gave up 423 yards on the ground. And do you have the box score in front of you?
Yes.
So you know the average yard per attempt Arizona State had on the ground.
Yeah.
8.8.
That's
just Air Force running the ball, man. 423, 8.86
TDs. That's ugly.
So should they start Lamar Jordan the rest of the way and just say, because Lamar Jordan can throw?
I'm going to say yes, because here's why. Yes, it's a triple option offense. Yes, it's a run option, and it's heavy. Lamar Jordan still ran for 32 yards, but reasonable. It looked like he was, you know, delegating duties quite a bit. But I'm just going to go ahead and look at the 2014 team leaders for New Mexico's passing.
That should be on your infogram there.
This should be on my infograph.
Infograph, yeah.
Lamar Jordan, 7 for 11, 130 yards, 1 touchdown. That is Lamar Jordan just from yesterday.
Is he leading?
Cole Gauchy, who started the first game and then exited because of injury. He is your second highest passer. He went 3 for 5 for 36 yards.
What they
might, I know that's extremely limited action, but you see a guy who can throw deep downfield, or, you know, relatively deep to get first downs.
We average, look at that, 7 completions. That's almost 20 yards of completion.
Yeah. And that's a couple of completions that Gauchi or Mitchum had.
Yes, 2 of his completions were a 44 and 32 yarder, but still, he can actually throw the ball. What they may want to do, and this, honestly, this might be the best option, have Lamar Jordan start and have Gauchi come in whenever they want a running play. Not necessarily split, but kind of, a lot of teams used to do that back in the day. You had, who, like Utah did it with Corbin Lax. It got popular with Darren McFadden in Arkansas years ago. Do something like that where Jordan's your guy. He can run enough, but you can bring in Gauchi if you need just to bring him in for a series or a couple of plays. Like goal line, not necessarily like some red zone or goal line where he's going to run. Something like that. That might be the best option because, like we said all along, Gauchi can move the offense very efficiently. Very efficiently. It's just if there's an attempt to throw the ball and it's third and long, he can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, there's not too much else to say about this.
That's all we got. You're lucky you got that because we actually saw the Lamar Jordan issue. So maybe we'll have Ron do something on that.
We have a minor bright spot.
It was a freshman, so yeah. And then also Carlos Wiggins didn't play, so it doesn't help.
Well, Carlos Wiggins was out. But if Carlos Wiggins played, he's a receiver.
Yeah, and he's fast because he's a kick returner. If Wiggins played, I could see the game, what, being 50-30? 14-point difference?
Probably, yeah.
0-2. That's, there you go. That's what he got. So what's next?
San Jose State, Auburn.
This game was
moving
interesting.
On. Well, there's hold on. Nothing,
one thing
there's
really quick.
Nothing to say about this game. The only thing that there is to say about this game is that San Jose State kept it close in the first quarter, which actually kind of shocked me.
Me too. I saw that nice.
I thought they were going to actually do a little bit better, but the defense is a bit of a problem.
I thought it'd be a little bit better. I did some stuff for college at Magnolia.com, and I put the final score 41-17. And their comments replies to me, you're only holding us to 41 points? I'm like, really? I'm like, I'm not going to put 70 and say I got to have some respect. But I figured there'd be some points, but.
However, against this Auburn defense, Blake Church looked okay.
That one screen, it wasn't really a screen pass, it's more of a. The linebacker, there's a rollout, and I guess the running back slipped past while the linebacker or defensive end attacked the quarterback with a little toss, and then Everett went 75 yards on the sideline. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. And then when I saw it 21-7, I'm like, no, I'm done. 28-7. I just deleted that game line.
But Malzahn's Auburn 58 yards on this team. I mean, they had no chance, but considering the – you know, the front 7 couldn't get any push to just pull them off at all. You knew this was going to be a blowout. I thought it was going to be a little bit better, but it makes me genuinely scared for Auburn when they face Minnesota.
You mean
and then
State?
Down the line because they're going to face Nevada.
Boise State will get that and with J.J. tearing it up.
No, they miss Boise State.
Oh, they do. Oh, sorry. They miss
somehow they win the conference champion.
Do they go to Colorado State?
They do go to Colorado State.
Maybe could be interesting, but their running game didn't show up on Saturday. So
UNLV, we'll talk about this later. UNLV seems to have found a running back. Sean Wick for Wyoming. They play
DJ
against
May, Navy. Sean Wick. There's a.
They play against Navy on October 25th. I mean, this running team has to tighten up very, very quickly.
All right, so let's move on. That's all we got for that game. So, is it finally Utah State time?
No, it's San Diego State, North Carolina. No, let's go Idaho State, Utah State.
Let's do that. There's a Trekkie Keaton problem, or is it an offensive play calling problem?
There's a problem. I didn't watch this game, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah, neither did I. It was on the online network, and they won 40-20. That's fine. Their defense gave up 307 passing yards, but that's not too concerning. They had 3 interceptions against it, and they were up pretty big, 20-6, and they pretty much cruised in the second half. Pretty much fourth quarter, they cruised. and they did have a pick six. Christian Keaton only went 13-30. That's a problem. If he had just 116 yards, I'm fine with it. That's okay, but when he goes that percentage, that low, there's got to be a concern there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It looks like he's fine because he did run the ball very – he led the team in rushing with over 70 yards. I didn't get to see how his throw in motion was. He threw a pick. He averaged 3.9 for an attempt. I don't know what happened, really, or what the big deal is, what the deal is with that, but Utah State there, I'm not going to go all Fresno on them, but you got to have your quarterback do better than that. They're only 4-14 on third downs. It's like, come on. They had 160 penalty yards. Jeez, how do you have that against the FCS team?
I have no clue. And Idaho State's not a good FCS team. They're very, very bad.
Yeah, they lost to Utah by 40 points. And they'll, don't they play?
Well, so did Fresno. I mean, no.
So who do you got? Fresno, Idaho State. What's your line? What's the game? Nothing? No response?
No, you didn't hear me?
No, I didn't. What'd you say?
Oh, signal. I said, well, you know, Idaho State lost to Utah by 40 points, but then again, so did Fresno State almost.
Well, I know, but then I said, what's the line for Idaho State, Fresno State?
I don't know. I didn't hear that part. You're cutting in and out.
Internet is lovely tonight. Sorry if this feels a little choppy, folks. Do a little magic editing later down the road. But next game.
Real quick before we go to the next game.
Yes, go ahead. Proceed.
Joey Iosefa's out.
Oh, what happened? I didn't hear that.
He is out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Is that just now breaking from Stephen Tsai?
No, this is breaking from Chris Turner.
Oh, sorry, I don't have him on my Twitter. He usually tagged him. I'm in the wrong account. If you're listening now, Chris, which would be impossible, get on the story. I guess technically, the way we're recording, somebody could be listening now, but that's not going to happen.
He might be on the story right now. He might be, because he's the one that tweeted it.
He always does that, then does the story. He's on top of it, even though he's in Missouri. I'm pretty sure he tagged me, but I'm in my personal account looking at stuff at the moment. So, sorry, folks. So what was the injury? Is it broken, aggravated his foot again, or what was the deal?
Something ankle. It's an ankle injury.
An ankle. Oh, that stuff.
So, okay. So what next game of sadness do we want to go to?
The game where, in my opinion, could possibly have the best team in the league if they won. Even without, I still think they might, in San Diego State Aztecs.
All right, let's look at San Diego State Aztecs. Holy hell, Aztecs, what the hell were you thinking?
This game, this is when I went back to watch and recorded. I saw the score. I'm like, okay, I'm going to see it happen. Couple issues here. Three interceptions by Quinn Kaler. A 100-yard interception return. 100 on the first possession of the game. That can't happen. You can't. Then if we fast forward to the end of the game, or not even then, you're up 21-7. You're up 21-14. They did make a field goal, so it's likely they're on Sheamus. That could have been a bit worse. They made a 49-yarder. But here's the two big plays. There's three plays I want to point to. That 100-yard interception return, 91 touchdown yard pass on North Carolina, and then, well, not calling a timeout with 30 seconds left to regroup, but then throwing the pick at the end of the game on your own, when you're at the Tar Heel 3-yard line.
Yeah, this is one of those things where maybe the play calling should have been a little bit better, especially since, you know, Kaler's been having a rough night. He already had two picks on the night. If you're going to throw the ball, make sure it's going to be something that he's comfortable with. You know?
True. And here's the thing. I get they need a touchdown. They're down four at that point at the end of the game, but you can't – anything but a pick. Anything but a pick. Because there's criticizing him of not calling a timeout at that point. Like after
even
the third
– you run the ball. Was this a fourth down?
No, it's first and goal. They got a first down. They had second and one incomplete. Third and one.
Wait. You're telling me it's first and goal.
Yeah, first and goal.
They have Donnell Pumphrey
and Chase,
nearly 6 yards on the night.
And Chase Price, who just completed the first down on third and one.
And Chase Price. and you don't run the ball on first and goal, you don't run it up the gut.
Well, there wasn't time. There's 31. Here's what happened. They got the first down. They hurried up and ran a play because I'm not sure. I don't recall their talent situation, but there was about 31 seconds left, but they'd like to go for it. And judging from what I've read, they had one timeout left, at least one at that point. What are you saving it for? Or you can't get the field goal.
I'm sorry. That is just a ridiculous.
You need a touchdown.
That's a stupid, stupid play call. No, you just got the first down. Time's running up. You need to hurry up. You have a timeout left in your pocket. Run the ball up the gut. Run it.
Their running game, if you look what, like you said, Price and Pumphrey both had big games. And what did you say, Pumphrey had six?
Taylor had 341 yards, but he also, you know.
He already threw one at the goal line earlier.
Two picks on the night.
Three.
If you know North Carolina not breaking, and you know that Price had just picked up that first down for you, run the ball again. You've worn down that defense.
You can spike it.
Down that front four.
I kind of get the point. Okay, if you have the timeout, okay, you call a timeout, you're done. If you run it, okay, you don't get it, you can still spike the ball. It's not like you're at 10 seconds. Yeah, you're at third down, you're probably going to throw it in two attempts to throw it, but why not run the first try? You get in, great. If not, it's not like you guys are going downfield. You have to reset to spike the ball. You're not wasting 20 seconds. You waste a couple seconds, maybe five, and the play is going to be – you're wasting maybe 10 seconds max. Spike it. Third and 20 or so seconds. Third down, fine. Fourth down, you have plenty of time. Why not spike the ball or do a line up quickly and do a run? Do something. Run the exact same play with Price in there. Run that same play. If you don't get it, fine. Spike it. You huddle up. You know what I mean? Whatever you want to do.
Okay, let me just tell you. This was a third and one where Price ran for 4 yards.
Yeah.
At the 3 yard line. He just ran for 4 yards. Give it to him again. Odds are he's probably going to get another 4 yards.
You see teams do this a lot, NFL sometimes, even college. They'll huddle up, get it. Okay, we don't get it, call a timeout. Even if they had the timeout and they still ran the play right away, up the gut, perfectly fine. You can still call a timeout and just try to catch them off guard. And then again, you have second down. You can run any play you want. You still have time to spot. It's just Rocky Long. I don't know what you're up to. You got to get something done, pal. And they should have won this game. They had too. There's too many miscues to not win this game.
That's
am I right? Like what I say, their defense didn't play that great. They let Marquise Williams go 20 of 29. Probably too many penalties. They could have been better on third down, just under 50%. But they outgained UNC by a lot, by 100 and plus yards. But again. You have 100 pick six. It's, oh, man. Aztec State, honestly, I'm not – would you put them number one if they – would you think they'd be the best team if they beat UNC on the road?
Yes.
Even how Boise State dominated, I think, yeah, that would be the right call. It's just,
they might be in my top three right now. I
still have them. I think I put them number two at San Diego State, number two even with the loss.
I just –
You got to get it done, guys. It's like, I don't know how you lose this game. Okay, I get how they could lose it, but it's not like those are the only two plays. You had a 100-yard interception return. They had a couple of plays. They were up 21-4. They're up 24-14 in the fourth quarter. They had left 17 fourth-quarter points.
All I have to say is, I mean, we're going to go into the preview this week. Or, sorry, not this week, but in a couple of weeks where they go to Oregon State. And if Oregon State has things figured out,
they should, because they always start slowly.
Right. They're going to be San Diego State's going to be in trouble.
Possibly. All right. So sorry, Aztec fans, but dang, gotta get it done. All right. Up next, what do we got next?
We have our choices of UNLV, Northern Colorado, Wyoming Air Force, Boise State, Colorado State, or Oregon State, Hawaii.
Oh, he's got 4 games left. Crap. Okay, really quick. What do you have? You were at that game, Northern Colorado, UNLV. That was a squeaker.
5 takeaways. 1.
You have 5?
Yes. I have 5 points to make in this game.
That's almost as many points as
watch this game.
That's almost as many points as each team had.
right? Hey, one, defense actually looked really, really good.
You're playing Northern Colorado. It should look good.
Yeah, but they gave up. They gave up 10 points. And for UNLV to give up 10 points only to anybody, that's
that is,
they,
that
they
is.
Cut down. They cut down on the tackles, right?
I agree with you, yes. That is
They cut down on the tackles, but they bent a little bit too much on the passing. That being said, they didn't allow a passing touchdown. Two, the offensive line has zero push. George Nalfau, who's definitely going to be the UNLV first-string rusher from here on out because he actually looked really good. He was the one who's doing a lot of things. If the offensive line had any sort of push up the middle of the gut, we might have been seeing a 21-28-point victory.
Possibly. Go ahead.
Bufau can break those tackles.
And looking at what he did, he had 90 yards. He only had a long of 10, so he's just getting – he wasn't breaking it. Like I said, he would have probably broke some more downfield, but he's consistently getting his average 4.1, but it wasn't like he had a 50-yard run. He was getting 4 yards every time he touched the ball, which is pretty good, decent average.
Three, UNLV defense or UNLV receivers need to stop dropping the balls.
Yeah, how come how did Devontae Davis look? Because he only caught 2 for 18.
He was hardly targeted. And the one deep pass he was targeted on, just a couple yards over his head.
He caught 2 passes.
Yeah.
He's the best receiver in the league. He needs to get 10 targets a game, man.
This is now starting to go into the ultimately, I think, overall thing.
Quarterback.
This offensive coaching staff has very, very little confidence in Blake Deck. UNLV driving last 30 seconds of the game on the 3-yard line, and they should have just given the ball to Nafal to punch it in the hole, and they would have gotten a score. It would have been 20-12. Instead, they call up a slant pass. Decker makes horrible decision, throws it to a guy double coverage.
It doesn't work too well, does it?
No. The ball is picked off in the end zone and returned back. Which brings me to my last point, 5, and I actually put up in the infographic. Here, should Nick Sherry be starting this game?
Yes.
Decker, 11 for 18, 121, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. Unacceptable. Last game, he only had 1 interception. If you look at the infographic that I posted here, Sherry had more completions, more attempts than what Decker had this year. And only both of them have started throughout this point. The person I think was Nick Sherry only started 2 games before he was pulled. Blake Decker has only started 2 games, and I think he should be pulled. 30 completions compared to Sherry's 41 completions, 59 attempts as opposed to Sherry's 2 attempts. The yards, Decker actually has slightly more, 373 to 337. However, Sherry has 3 touchdowns, Decker's 2, and 5 interceptions, 4 interceptions. Those are similar statistics. It's time to give Nick Sherry a shot again.
It definitely should. Yeah, he won, but...
And against a team, which we're going to come up, once again, preview Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois had to use 3 quarterbacks in last week's game.
But Northern Illinois also won. They beat a Big Ten team.
Right. Northwestern Big Ten.
Sure. But that counts.
It does count.
They are technically... They are in the Big Ten, just like Rutgers is.
But you need to... Something needs to change. Either Decker has to gain confidence. It just seems to me that he doesn't look confident enough. So if that's the case, give Sherry the ball.
Yeah, give him a chance. At least give him a chance. Who does UNLV play next week?
Northern Illinois.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of something else. So why not? Northern Illinois is just they're a reasonably okay team, but they're not what they were at Jordan Lynch. Why not at least give him a series to see what happens?
So that's all that on that game.
Should we go to Wyoming Air Force? Real quick.
Let's go Wyoming Air Force.
We need to wrap. Try to get this done quickly. But did you know what the opening line of Wyoming versus Oregon is already?
Oregon at -43.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
It's not going to be good.
This game, low scoring game. I was kind of surprised it was this low of a scoring. Usually these guys can put up more points than this. Ended up being, because I think it was 7 to 7.5. It was something low scoring. I wasn't able to catch all
things. Air Force was up 10 to 7.5.
Sorry, 10-7. Yeah.
Up 10-0, middle of the third quarter.
Yeah, and
or middle of the second quarter. Sorry.
You got to give it. We made fun of. We joked about everything at Wyoming rushing defense. They held Air Force to 2.9 yards per carry.
They held Air Force rushing to 151 yards total.
That doesn't happen. Unless they're playing like Oklahoma or something, that never happens.
Is that a great goal adjustment?
It has to be. They were +2 turnover margin. They forced. Here's the thing, too. Oh, well, that's two things. You see, Troy had Kale Pearson throw the ball 32 times.
That's weird.
But they still ran it 52 times. So it's not like they were balanced by any means, but they were still 2-1, just about. But and Kale Pearson, just about 50%, did pretty well throwing the ball, but they weren't having success running the ball, so they had to do something. And Wyoming's rush offense didn't do anything either, but this was a game.
Wyoming's passing did. Colby Kirkard,
yeah, passing.
282.
Yeah, pretty good, but I want more from Wick and May.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I want them to average 2 yards. DJ May, 11 carries, 12 yards? Come on.
Not acceptable.
The play of the game could have been on that final drive late in the fourth quarter. Air Force, they hold Air Force to a field goal. Well, I mean, that's to make it only 13-10. Then they drive. I'm not sure the last time I've seen a Wyoming team just, oh, let's go. Oh, we got one drive left in us, so let's go see what happens. They drive down the field and score the game-winning touchdown. Because that Air Force drive could have just crushed them. This was a lengthy drive. This is about an 8-minute drive.
But this is what we saw last week versus Montana, too. Montana, lengthy drive, field goal, puts Montana up 12-10. And Wyoming just stomps down, scores again. This is a.
But listen to this. 18-play, 60-yard drive took up 7 minutes and.
No, I see it. 18-play, 60 yards. That's
amazing.
Killer.
And they still hold them to a field goal, which is what they want. Here's the play. They're deep. Yeah, this is a defensive Craig Will adjustment because look at these last drives. First and goal at the Wyoming 8. Okay, 3-yard gain. Second and goal, a loss of 1. Then a 9-yard loss for Wyoming. So they end up pushing it back to the 15. It's huge. This is Craig Bull. Bulls is bringing some pressure, bringing some toughness to this team. And then they go down and we're just going to throw, and they throw down the field and got a touchdown. 3-yard TD pass to JD Krill for the win. And that was it.
Yeah.
2-0. Wyoming is the only other undefeated team. They are the only other undefeated team in this league.
So the Mountain and the West Division both have an undefeated team. Wyoming somehow is still undefeated. No, actually,
Don't say somehow. That's disrespectful to the Pokes.
No. We were expecting Wyoming to be undefeated at this point. Or at least I was. I don't know about you.
I would say so.
We weren't expecting Nevada to be undefeated right now. But anyway, two more games. Colorado State, Boise State, or Oregon State, Hawaii?
Let's go in order. Let's go Boise State, Colorado State, which I thought was the game of the leading up was the game of the week. Apparently did not do that.
It seemed like Boise State dominated on all fronts, as usual. Colorado State was pushing in the last quarter, scored 14 of their points. But by that time, it was 37-10.
What was up with the rushing game? I don't get the rushing attack for Colorado State. I know we overhyped it, but still, when DeHart busts out what he does, and Gerald does as well, they play do as well as they did. You expect not to be shut down this bad.
But, see, we say not to be shut down this bad, but at the same time, though, you had Boise State rushing defense held Ole Miss to 77 yards. You kind of totally saw this coming.
Yeah, but 1.2 a carry? I'm just saying that bad. I honestly expected, I figured Dejai would outrush by about maybe 30 to 40 yards.
They only had 23 carries total.
Well, when you're down, here's the thing. The second quarter, when you're down 30 to 10 to half, you got to keep throwing in. I am pleasantly surprised with Garrett Gracian showing up to try to do what he can to keep the Rams in this game, throwing for 434 yards after his very poor performance against Colorado in week one.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. Boise State's defense has to fix that 434 yards.
And their penalties again, 10 for 101.
Yeah, but this team picks off. This team has 5 interceptions so far in the season.
True. That helps them because they need that because their pass defense overall isn't very good.
No, but we also just saw one of the best quarterbacks in the Mountain West from what we've seen.
Hold on, again, Colorado, what did he throw for, 150 yards or something? It was terrible, and Colorado's possibly one. They beat UMass this week by 3 points. They give up 38 points to UMass.
Listen. He was still – Garrett Grayson was still only like 53 or 54%.
That's not good enough, man. You got to be over 60%.
I know. No, he was still only 53 or 54% tonight, last night. But he had 434 yards. That means every single completion, he's throwing a deep ball because he has to.
Yeah, because the Boise State secondary is not that good at stop. They go for a big play, they get it, or they don't. And that's going to be a problem when they play, say, San Diego State. Or even in Nevada when they're going to mix it up with a pistol and throwing the ball to, Richie Turner. I think that's his name, right? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that's going to get them when you give up that many passing yards.
See, but while I'm concerned about that, I'm not concerned about that. I mean, I am, but I'm not. I am because of the yardage.
12 yards an attempt is not good, or 12 yards per completion, and 7.5 per attempt. So it's almost a first down every time he throws the ball.
But that's only half the time when he throws the ball. So you see how the statistics play out here? He's only completing half the time.
Yeah.
But when he completes, it's almost for a first down.
I know. I'm just saying that could be an issue down the road.
I think you're right. And I think that's something that Yates is going to have to work on. But guess what? Yates is doing what he wants with the rush defense right now. And correct, you're forcing every single team to be completely one-dimensional.
But I agree. But this game, this is just also CSU secondary did nothing. They were, first quarter, it was 13-10. I'm like, okay, Grayson gets that touchdown. But then the defense does nothing. Like, for CSU, both sides, offense and defense, do nothing that second quarter. And Jay Ajayi, if they would have beat Ole Miss, you could legitimately say he's right there to be in a consideration for, like, the best running back, which he is in the country. But even the Heisman with how well he's doing receiving the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah.
Because he had, 60 yards tonight? He has two something overall for rushing alone. There's a possibility
He has 305 yards rushing.
Yeah, and he had two something last night, and he has already, 200 receiving on the season just about?
Something like that, close to it.
Because that drive, here's where it kind of crushed CSU. They get the touchdown, second quarter. Yeah, they hold – the Boise State goes and gets the TD. Okay, 20-10. Not the end of the world for CSU, even though it was a quick touchdown there. The lengthy drive covered both quarters. CSU, that's where the pick to I'm reading this wrong, sorry. I should stop reading the ESPN's box or play-by-play chart. They don't do that well. But, sorry, CSU goes 3 and out. They stop Boise. Like, 3 straight possessions, CSU goes – stopped, okay. They stop Boise. CSU gets stopped again. They go for it but they make that lengthy punt, but they give Boise State great field position. And then they just go down and score, and they go all these 3 and outs in the second quarter, and that's the game. Had they had at least one score in that second quarter, preferably a touchdown, 30-17, it probably could have been a decent game in the second half. But they had only every possession in the second quarter was 3 and outs. And that's the end of the game there. No turnovers, just three and outs. Or excuse me, sorry. The interception at midfield, which technically it's almost a punt when you do it that way. That deep pass on right at the end of the half when they forced you to kick that field goal. There was it counts as a punt. One of those deep throws that gets picked off. So technically an interception, but still a punt.
You want to know the key drive of this game? Here's the key drive of this game.
What is
Boise State already up 24, was it? So they were already up 28 to nothing, right? Or
27 to 10.
28 to 10.
It's never 28 to 10.
Sorry, 27 to 10.
Yes, go ahead.
27 to 10, okay? Colorado State marches down the field.
March.
They start first and goal on the Colorado State, or I'm sorry, they start on their Colorado State 8-yard line. They go 86 yards.
Yeah.
Fumble the ball. After that, Boise State makes it 8 plays, 88 yards, touchdown. That kind of drive, that kind of lengthy drive with nothing coming back with another drive to just finish it, score a touchdown, that's really what ends the game. And that's why I'm impressed, though, that Colorado State still had the fight to even fight in this game afterwards. Because that game, that score right there, that could have let Colorado State down. That could have been not just the nail in the coffin, but, I mean, this game could have been probably in the 40s or 50s. If CSU hadn't fought back.
Possibly. I was just shocked that CSU played so bad running the ball. I get your point, all that stuff, but I was expecting maybe over expectation, but does this make you believe Boise State is the best team in the league and should you consider that unless they lose again?
Well, see, once again, I have Nevada as number one in my power rankings, but that's until they lose.
Because you based honestly, on wins lost. Boise State's
probably a more complete team right now than Nevada.
Maybe. If Fajardo goes off and when they play, that's going to be an issue for Boise State passing the ball.
Maybe.
Maybe? That can't be. Maybe that's a definite. Look at Garrett Grayson did.
Right.
All right, let's move on. Final game of the night. Hawaii, Oregon State. I think we need to drop the parachute on Oregon, on Hawaii here, and to slow down our expectations of them.
Yeah, well, especially now that ESF is out.
Yeah, he's out for probably 6 weeks with the ankle injury, and that just a slow start. That's not like opposite last week. ESF goes out. They have no lock of lock in it, do anything running the ball. Here, it's big thing here. Sean Mannion, I think he's the best passer in the Pac-12. Throws for 300 yards, 26-37, extremely accurate. And they could have stalked a bit Victor Bolden, who caught 11 passes. It was all deep stuff, too, because there's, what, five plays over 20 yards, a couple over 30, a couple over 40, or one over 40. They couldn't do anything on pass defense.
Yeah.
And 100 penalties doesn't help, 100 yards, 108 yards.
No, absolutely not. But then again, it's that fourth quarter surge again that we see from Hawaii every single game.
Well, but that's also, you have to consider, I'm pretty sure, I didn't say it played up the watches, but they scored, 21 points that fourth quarter? 23 points? 23 points? There was the backups in the game.
They scored 16.
No, in the fourth quarter? It was 38-7. They lost 38-30.
Oh, sorry. 24.
That's 23 points again.
Yeah, I can math.
Come on, math guy. Or, you're a science guy. Sorry. Excuse me. So I assume you put Hawaii. Where is you? Okay. ESF is out. That's going to hurt them pretty bad. I already filled in my rankings before knowing that news. Where would you put Hawaii in the West pecking order then?
Fifth.
Okay, what's your order then? Who's last? Who's last then?
Fresno State right now.
Well, okay, let's project a bit further than what we know right now. How would you say, well, I guess I'm asking two different questions. Where do you see them finishing them? Because, honestly, we expected them to be 0-2 at this point anyways. Nobody's expecting them to win either game. So it's not like this is a shock that this is happening. Do you think they'll finish fifth in the league?
I'm trying to think of all the teams. Hold on.
You got San Jose State. You got UNLV. You have Nevada. San Diego State.
Yeah. You know what? I could see them.
Are they going to be better than UNLV or San Jose State?
Possibly.
Where do you think
better than both those teams.
Possibly. Where do you see Fresno State finishing then? Third? Fourth?
I see them finishing minimum fourth if they don't get their shit. Sorry, language.
That's fine. That's okay. So you think, okay, so you? I'm assuming you put Hawaii at best fourth. Does that make sense?
Best fourth, yeah.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. I was just wondering about, just curious about how you felt about that. So that's a big deal because that's still overachieving what most people thought, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's do you still think Kawhi is the way what we've seen without Yosef, I'm assuming you would assume a bowl game's out of the works.
And from Hawaii?
Yeah. Because if they lose Yosef for half the year.
Yeah, not anymore.
Because I still think they're gonna beat Northern Iowa. Here's the thing. The way they're playing, well, it depends. If Woosley can do what we think he can do. And if Lakalaka gets a – because I'm not sure. Iosefa played in the fourth quarter, so maybe he's hurt at the end of the game. If Lakalaka can be close to Iosefa, which I think we both think maybe, and Woosley can throw a little better, add some touch to the ball and a little bit better completion percentage, they're going to beat Northern Iowa. I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Colorado or Rice. They could potentially, even without Iosefa, be 3-2. Do you think that's any chance of happening? Northern Iowa, at Colorado, at Rice.
Yes.
Because Rice doesn't look very good this year, so if they can pull that off, they could beat UNLV 4, San Jose State maybe 5. They might be able to challenge for a bowl game because I think there's a chance they could win their next three games even without Iosefa.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yes, excellent. So do you have any final thoughts on the weekend? Anything you want to see better of, worse of?
I want to see UNLV play better.
One last question. Is there a team in this league that will make a New Year's Day bowl? Because look at the projections by Jason Kirk, the SB Nation editor, college football persona guy, whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. He still has East Carolina, even though they lost to 10 to SC South Carolina.
They were leading most likely.
You still think it's East Carolina?
I think East Carolina's got the best chance.
Why
maybe
is that?
Outside of BYU.
BYU doesn't have automatic bid, though, so I'm not going to include them at all.
Oh, okay, good.
Because they don't, that they're not in the discussion for that.
This is true.
So, yes or no for any Mountain West team? If you had to pick one, who would it be? Boise State?
Probably Boise State.
Not Nevada, even? I know you don't want to say it, but.
Yeah, I got to see more of Nevada.
Okay.
Remember, they beat Washington State, but they're still not showing everything that they're capable of, as well as they still haven't looked entirely good. Which, if they haven't looked good even beating Washington State, then how bad is Washington State?
Yeah, I mentioned that. Like, their offense was terrible. Their overall is probably one of
It's kind of like how we said about Colorado last week. When we said, hey, hold on, not to bust anybody's bubble, but Colorado State beat Colorado by 14. Colorado's fairly bad, and it kind of proved us when they only beat UMass by 3, and that was late in the fourth quarter.
They're getting kicked out of the MAC, essentially.
Colorado should be kicked out of the Pac-12.
Go back to the Big 12, maybe they have a fighting chance.
We'll take them.
Okay, who would you replace then? Hawaii?
What, for Pac-12?
If we were to take Colorado, who would we take? Who would we replace them with?
Would we replace them, or would we just add a third or add a 14th team?
Good point. All right, so I think we're done here. Do you have anything else you'd add at all to this show this evening?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, so I'm going to sign off now. I got to edit this piece together because we did a few different ways to get the show up. Check us out, MWC.
There's like 50 ways to leave your lover, except for 50 ways to lose internet signal.
Yeah, at this point, I'm going to blame Skype because we've had no issues using Google Hangouts. So Skype, get your act together. And yeah, check out MWCConnection.com. We'll have I'll probably put the early week three lines up. Take a look at the infograph. Listen to the show. Again, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio is promoting us, so add us to your playlist on Stitcher. We're still clinging to Blog Talk Radio for a little while, but yeah, thanks for listening. And yeah, we got week two in the books. Check us out probably Wednesday for week three, and we'll see everybody next time.